It's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do, but the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Not good. Well, now you can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month. All on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools. But at the Home Depot, the right tools means more than hammers and saws. It means a mobile app with built-in image search. That's a tool. Access an entire rental department with a swipe. That's another tool. For any project, start to finish, this isn't just DIY. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Download our mobile app to get started.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Coming up in a matter of minutes, head coach Kenny Farrell. Apparently, is that an endorsement deal? I mean, he's holding a product there that could go commercial here, you know?
It looks like there's a few Jacksonville Armada supporters in the comments after the NOLA Jesters tweeted at us about Coach coming on at 2:05,
right.
And they put into the comments, but will he bring up the fact that Section 904 gave him a Snickers to help him from being hangry?
Yellow card. We got a lot to talk about here for sure. We've been talking a lot about this.
Giannis with 2.2. We'll get it inbound to Connaughton. He'll dribble away from Crowder. The horn will sound. The Bucks hold serve. A big fourth quarter. Chris Middleton leading Milwaukee with 40 points. And the NBA Finals are deadlocked at 2. Milwaukee beats Phoenix 109-103.
One of the big reasons, of course, the block, the mother of all blocks.
Ayton hands it off to Booker, bodied by Tucker. Lifts it for the rim. Blocked shot by Giannis on the alley-oop attempt to Ayton. What a defensive play by the Greek Freak with a minute 10 to go in game 4.
Is it better than LeBron's block, though? That's what everyone is talking about. Is it, Jordan? Do you think I'm going to go?
Not right now.
I'm going to go LeBron Game 7.
Same.
Finals.
I mean, that's matches. Matches hurts me to say.
Mike Greenberg.
But I think as far as just the spectacular nature of the play, I think this is better. I'm not going to say it is a greater play than the one that LeBron made, but I think it is actually a more the degree of difficulty of what Giannis did. I mean, Hembo, I'm looking right at you. Do you agree? I think the degree of difficulty of what he did last night is greater than what LeBron did on the chase down block.
I will agree with that. It was way more difficult
you think so?
For Giannis to block.
That was a fast break. I mean, that was buckets for the Warriors.
The way his hips were aligned, the way his feet were pointing. I mean, he had no clue where
it was very quick how that happened.
So I will say athletically and just how awkward his position was, I'd give the edge to Giannis. But in a more meaningful game, I have to give the advantage to LeBron just because it was to bring basically a title to Cleveland for the first time ever and kind of just cemented his legacy there with the Cavaliers.
Look, it was pretty incredible on that block. Here's Drew Holiday on the block.
What could I do about it? 8 and 7 feet, you know, so again, Giannis is athletic, but I just think his IQ for the game and to be able to read that, and especially the point in the game that it was in, just makes it a very elite block.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It's pretty incredible when you look at the different, I guess, styles of play sometimes, right? Well, what we saw, I mean, they were down 9 points, and yet they found a way to make stops defensively. Giannis and what they did in the fourth.
Going down the stretch, we kept believing in ourselves. We kept executing. We kept setting screens. We kept getting stopped. We kept running. We kept rebounding the ball. We kept blocking shots. So we wanted this bad, and the team showed it tonight. But we got to keep getting better. Got to keep getting better. We got to keep taking steps forward and keep playing good basketball.
By the way, final bite, and then we'll go to head coach Kenny Farrell here. I think this is the story of the entire series, though. Giannis leaving early so many times.
Oh, yeah. What's been up with that?
Yeah. I thought he was gassed, maybe not feeling well. Why do you keep going?
I wanted to, what the hell you guys say politely? I wanted to take a tinkle. A tinkle? Yeah, yeah. I went to take a tinkle and came back. Yeah. That's polite, right? Yeah. Tinkle is polite, yeah. Both games. I went to take a tinkle and went back.
That does happen to people whenever they get nervous.
I literally texted out to Ali. I said, it's got to be nerves. It's got to be nerves.
When I was doing the thing at Southeastern, I had to take a tinkle.
You had to go take a tinkle.
Yes.
Kenny Farrell, head coach of your New Orleans Jesters, having won a playoff game. We'll get into the game and the win, but first, the most important question. And it isn't what you are holding in your hand in a photo that I see on Twitter. It's, have you ever had to take a tinkle at the beginning of a match?
No, I took a tinkle after in an NCAA college game in the last eight before we went to the Final Four many, many years ago. And it was very foreign to me at the time, actually.
Okay.
But it's the first time and only time it's really ever happened. But it was NCAA.
Okay, so it's been a while, but okay.
So I have done it. I've been there. I've been there, done it, you know. So.
Okay. Coach, apparently this song is near and dear to your hearts. You guys get a victory and celebrating on the team bus. Little John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Where did you get that from?
I got my sources.
Inside sources.
Yeah, inside sources.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There was a little bit of celebrating going on. I was just doing some harmony for one of our superb players.
Coach, 3-1, yeah, man. Number one seed in Jacksonville. You guys go over there and get the victory. You've been saying that you believe that you had the more talented team and had a good team. You just had to put it together.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday?
Well, it was the best performance of the season. I think everything that we were working on all year, it was coming together. I told you I could sense it over the last 10 to 14 days that it was starting to come together, and that if we could execute, you know, our chances and finish them, that we have a chance of beating any team, no matter how good they were. So we defended extremely well. Our shape is really good. The mentality, the tenaciousness of the players was superb. It was a very tough environment. We scored two very good goals in the first 20 minutes. They came back 2-1. And then the second half was everybody was on the edge of their seats. Their crowd was kind of gone quiet in the second half, very nervous. And we were lucky enough to get a goal with about 10 or 12 minutes to go. I think it was going in anyway. It was an own goal by one of their guys, but I think it was on the way in the net. I think it would have gone in anyway. And call away 3-1 victors and you know, deservedly so. We were the better team on the night, and I just hope that we can keep up that level of performance in the conference championship game on Saturday night. We play Southern State away, and hopefully we can bring a trophy home to New Orleans.
Coach, you were awarded a yellow card in last night's match. I got a few people over on Twitter that I just found out. They offered – Well, they gave you a Snickers bar to help you from being hangry. And there I see Coach Kenny.
There he is.
There you are, Coach. Daniel over on Twitter. It looks like it's a Jacksonville Armada fan taking a picture of you and the Snickers bar with a thumbs up.
What a great crowd. I mean, they're giving you some snacks during the game, you know?
Well, let me tell you, like, the first time we played over there, like, that crowd sits right behind the away bench. And they are magnificent supporters of that club. They really are. But their demeanor is fantastic. They're funny. They sing songs. You know, they try and rib the away team. But they do it in a very nice manner, you know. And you can do nothing but laugh and enjoy them. So, you know, the first time we played them away, they came down after halftime, and it was an intense game that day as well. And they gave me a Snickers bar. And then I came back last night, and they had it all ready for me like a little present. So now it's become every time you play them, they're going to, you know, get me a Snickers. I keep you under control.
It's their loss. But, they're missing out on the Snickers.
It was fun. And they were fantastic in defeat as well. They really were fantastic in defeat. They handled it really well. They had a great season. They've won so many games this year. But to lose, look, New Orleans beat Tampa twice last year, right? And went on to win it. Let's hope that we can do that with New Orleans just this year.
Very good point. Coach, you've brought up one of the I wouldn't say challenges, but one of the reasons you guys and really the league took that year off to try to build this, I guess, more regional area of teams was maybe for something like this, huh? It's to sort of not even have rivalries, but like whether it's Southern States or it's Pensacola or it's Jacksonville, which is probably one of the furthest ones all the way on the right. But you just drive down straight I-10, you know? I mean, my point is it's still all within a relative proximity of one another, and you kind of know, I guess, where you're going.
Well, the idea was to find ownership groups and teams that were already kind of formed in lower level leagues and bring them up to our league and work with them. So I took a year off as the MPSL chairman. I just felt I needed to do something in my own region. We were playing games in South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, North Georgia, all these different areas. And it was very hard for our fans to build up any kind of rivalries with home and away games. And so we built this I-10 Gulf Coast region conference. And it's this great interaction. I don't see it, but they have their own Facebook page, I think, and they all go back and forward with banter, and it's all good, and they get to know the players, and they're building rivalries. And that's the way soccer's meant to be. You know, it's meant to have those rivalries. You look across the world, they have them. So it's been a great success. Obviously, I took that year off to work on that, and then we had COVID the second year, so we were missing for 2 years. And I was wondering how it would be coming back with the people being remembered us. But they did, and they came out, and they supported us, and the team has, you know, given them back what, you know, for the tremendous support that they've given us this year. So, you know, all is working out really, really well. Keep moving forward.
Speaking with head coach Kenny Farrell of the New Orleans Jesters, last hour we had Nate Osborne of the NOLA Gold, and I asked him, you know, they need one more win and to win by a certain amount of points in order to get to the postseason. But I asked him what I'm asking you, having what you just said, taking some time off, and then coming off of a COVID season, and it's still here, I mean, to an effect, right? I mean, there's still protocols, the Delta variant, all this other stuff. But to be able to make the postseason, now win a game, and be in the, you know, the conference final, how big is that? I mean, just to be able to sort of do that, to not only just come back and put on a team, but to actually be competitive that you're competing for a trophy.
Yeah, I think it's very, very big. I think any success you can bring back to your own city is tremendous for the city, no matter what it is. You know, the NOLA Gold are doing a great job, and hopefully they can bring that home. The Jesters have done a good job this year and bring it home, and all the big clubs, you know, the Saints, everybody. I think it's big for everybody. There's a community that follows us very closely, and hopefully that gets bigger and bigger as time goes on, and that soccer gets bigger and bigger at this level as time moves forward. But to bring it home to them, and it'll bring more people to watch us play. I mean, last night on the stream, I think there was, on that stream, there must have been, from what I heard, 1,200 or 1,300 people watching the stream game last night, which was nice. You know, and I guarantee you 90% of those were the New Orleans people. So that's really, really good for us. So let's bring it home. It's big for the club to bounce back this strong. You know, we struggled to find some continuity between the players early because it was all so new and it was difficult to put a team together this year. And they've just grown throughout the season, and the as I said to you before, Gus, the mentality of the team right now is incredible. The tenaciousness is great. And every single player, what you try strive to do as a coach, no matter what your level of player is you want them to overachieve. It could be the best player in the world, it could be an average player, it could be a low average player. If they're overachieving, they'll feel good about it, they'll get the job done. And we just want to continue to do that.
Final thing for you, Coach. The final up in Hattiesburg, where I went to school. Yeah. I'm not saying my loyalties are there. That is for sure. They're behind you, of course.
You did go to school? Okay. Yeah.
I did. I know it's hard to believe. It is hard to believe. But, yes, I went to school in Hattiesburg. 7:30 up there. Look, I know it's an hour and a half. I mean, it's an easy drive.
Yeah.
Get out there and support in person. If not, find the way to get that stream and look at it. But, Coach, this is a team that you've played before, and it's got about a minute here. It's going to be a challenge, but I don't think it's one that you can't pull away.
No, it's one we can win. We played them at home about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We tied 1-1. I felt we were the better team on the night. I think we're better now. But, look, it's anybody's game. They're saying the same thing. You know, they've got some very good players. We've got some very good players. I always say this. You need a little bit of luck on your side in these games. But let's see how it goes. All I can tell you is that we will perform very well and we're ready to play. And with that, I think we can bring home this result.
All right. There he is. Head coach Kenny Farrell, thank you for fitting us in. Literally, you guys just won. Got to get your stuff together and then and go play Saturday night, 7:30, in the NPSL Gulf Coast Conference Final.
The stream, you will find the stream, I think, if you're looking for the game, you'll find it on our website and on our Facebook page. It will be posted there, so anybody wants to find it.
Cool. We'll retweet it for sure, man, to let people go out and check it out. Good luck, Coach.
Appreciate that. Take care. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Head coach Kenny Farrell going to the Conference Finals. Quick break when we come back. Touch them all. Timmy Grubbs, talk a little baseball. Then at 2:30, Eric Alexander, a little foosball. Then an open segment. And some news when we come back, too, though, about your New Orleans Saints. A deadline has passed at 2 o'clock, and no deal has been made with a certain player. We'll touch on that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Making love to you was never second best. I saw the world.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or a carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up? We'll help you find everything you need. Right now you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline MaxLife High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $28.99. And if you're an AutoZone Rewards member, you'll also get a $5 bonus reward. Get what you need fast and get the job done easier.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Start your job today at AutoZone.com. Restrictions apply.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Quick bit of news for your New Orleans Saints. Today's the deadline. At 2 o'clock was the deadline. for franchise tag players to sign their deal. Panthers just beat it with their offensive tackle, Taylor Morton. 4 years, $72 million extension. That includes $43 million guaranteed at the signing. That's about it, though. It's about it as Jordan. When it comes to the New Orleans Saints, there's only one player that was franchise tag. Obviously, it's just one player who can do so. At safety, Marcus Williams. Mm-hmm. Now, both sides were trying to get a new deal, trying to get a big deal. And what's the latest?
So, Ian Rappaport, 10 minutes ago. Meanwhile, the Saints and safety, Marcus Williams, don't appear on track to do a deal despite both sides working on making it happen. So, barring a dramatic turn, just one deal today. And I do have to add this one comment that's right underneath it. It's Prime Juan Toscano Anderson over on Twitter. Do Saints fans know he was the reason for the Minneapolis miracle?
Wow.
No, we didn't. Marcus who?
Again, I will say, yes, he could have made that play, but, you know, if the Saints get a first down and kick the field goal as the clock expires. Anyway, we'll keep you posted on the latest on that, but as of right now, no deal with Marcus Williams and the Saints on a long-term extension. We like to bring him in once a week to talk Major League Baseball, and it's none other than Mr. Tim Grubbs, voice of the Wichita Wind Surge over there, and, of course, your friend and ours at Mr. Tim Grubbs, the way to follow him on Twitter. Tim, how are you this afternoon, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are things back there?
Well, it was rainy earlier. It's a lot better today. We didn't lose power, and we're still on the air. So I guess that's a good thing, Tim.
Well, that's a good thing. You know, it's one thing for it to rain, you know, but, I mean, that's an everyday thing, it seems like, in Louisiana. But to lose power, that's not good. And, you know, and I did see the news that there's a stadium that's back to its good name, the Superdome.
There it is. See? So it didn't matter to Tim Grubbs.
See, Tim, were you of the majority that were PO'd whenever they did change it to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome?
I understood why. Obviously, I work in sports, so I get right. Naming rights. I 100% understand it. I come from the clock. When you open a stadium, that's the name. If it's got a naming rights then that's fine. But if you open with no naming rights, it should probably stay no naming rights, especially when you got such an awesome name like the Superdome. You know what I mean? It's perfect name. Keep it. Be done with it. You know what I mean? I like it, but I understand it. You know, you need money to pay bills, and I'm sure they're coming up with a new name probably within the next week.
Well, yeah, it's coming, I'm sure. You got to get that money, right? That's for sure, for it to help. Look, man, speaking of money, one of the things that's been a huge topic this week, partly because of Stephen A's comments about Shohei Ohtani, and others, and Vlad Guerrero winning, and he's speaking without, you know, with an interpreter and all this other stuff, and but the larger, I guess, topic to that is marketing and baseball marketing its top young stars. Fernando Tatis Jr., last year you and I talked about it. Remember when he was giving the Dodgers grief? So I'm like, I love that guy. Like, they need to be promoting the ever-living something out of him. And so it seems like you have a lot of former players' kids sort of leading the way, but a lot of young players leading the way. Yet, I almost feel like even people while we were watching the game was like, with the game. Then the commissioner says, well, I'm going to change rules. You know, what's wrong with baseball, man?
You know what? I mean, marketing has been a problem for a long time with baseball. Marketing its young stars. And, you know, I mean, you know, you got the old school people, the people that want it the way that it used to be. You know what I mean? Where you don't promote the players and so forth. And then you've got the new school, which, you know, they don't know who the guys are. So you need to teach them. And I tell you, if you turn on a Padres game, you and I have talked about this either on text or on the air, I don't know for sure. But you turn a Padres game on, and they come on late at night, you know, because they're on the West Coast.
Right.
I don't care about the Padres one way or another. But it's a football-like atmosphere there,
yeah.
And it's fun. And it's, you know, they have a young
massive chains.
They've got some stuff going on that I think is very entertaining, and I certainly enjoy it. You know, and the brown and gold or brown and yellow uniforms are back. I think it's pretty cool. I think they got a good thing going, and Tatis is a lot of fun, and I wish there was more of it, and I think they need to promote more of that. I think Vlad Jr. is incredible. Obviously, he plays in a different country, you know, in Canada. Well, not really now because they don't play in Canada yet, but, you know, I get it. But Toronto's a huge market, and, you know, his dad was a Hall of Famer, and I think, you know, obviously you've got to promote those guys as best you can. and let people know who they are and put them on TV. And, you know, I think baseball will grow as a sport. The rule changes, I don't know if these rules are changing or what. I think it's just a fight because we've talked about this a little bit, the collective bargaining agreement's expiring this winter. Right. There's going to be a lot of give and take. The players are going to want stuff. The owners are going to take stuff. That seven-inning thing and that extra inning rule is going to get back on the table this winter. We're all going to be talking about it like, hey, I thought Manfred was gone, but it's going to go back. And then whether or not it happens or not, you know, there's going to be some give or take. That's why I'm convinced the DH will be in both leagues, because it's a money thing. And, you know, when they end up settling and they come to an agreement, hopefully with no strike or any work stoppage, you know, DH will be back and we'll see from there.
I think one of the things, too, Tim, that I liked, that was probably somebody I went, oh, I don't know about that. But now that you see the runner on second in extra innings, and I had this an argument in debate with Jordan about penalty kicks. I like it. Finality. There's five kicks apiece, and you know, see what happens. Jordan rather be more of a game-like scenario. Just keep playing until you pass out and die. I don't want to see 21 innings of baseball. I sort of liked it like that to that extent. I don't know if it's – why is a bad thing of getting rid of the seven-inning, you know, doubleheaders? I mean, you're playing two games in one day. I mean, if you're worried about your health and you're worried about longevity – that makes sense. I just don't understand Manfred's, hey, we're doing it, we get rid of the shifter. Let's get rid of the shift. That's affecting the game. Like, I don't know the direction of a Manfred-led baseball is going.
Yeah, you don't. And, you know, obviously, he's strange. You know, nobody really likes him. But you know what? People didn't like Bud Selig for a long time when he was the commissioner. And, you know, there's a lot of people that hated the wild card, and a lot of people hated when we went with three divisions. If you remember, it used to be just the NL East and the NL West, or the AL East and the AL West. He added the Central, and, you know, they changed the playoff scheme. I think a lot of what Bud Selig got a lot of flack 20 years ago has been great. Interleague play, I think there's a little too much interleague play in normal years. You know, I think it should be unique, not as much of it. But I agree with you. I love the extra inning rule. I'm kind of indifferent on the seven inning doubleheader rule. I think if you wanted to do a 10th inning in normal baseball, you know what I mean? You just play the 10th like normal, and then you maybe go to the 11th and put the runner on second. I'm all for that if somebody really wants to put up a fight. But nobody wants the 17th inning. You know, you want the ballpark. They clear out. You know, as soon as the game goes to the 11th or whatever back in the day, you know, there'd be no one there. It'd be, you know, there's, I don't know, it's not good. You know, football, hey, they play a 10-minute overtime, and then the game's a tie. I'm not sure I'm all for a tie, but if football can have ties in a 17-week season, you know, why can't baseball have a tie in a 162-game season? It's not going to probably matter when it comes to the playoffs, but, you know, I'm not sure I'm for a tie. I don't like that in soccer. Right. So, but I'm with you. You know, I don't want to go to home run derby to decide games, but it might not be that bad of an option rather than going to the 15th inning.
Yeah, I'm with you. Just give me a winner one way, shape, or form with some sort of element of the game, and we'll call it a day. Look, the other thing, too, that I found interesting, speaking with Tim Grubbs here, is I was trying to enjoy the game and watch it. And then, of course, Fox had to interview Chris Bryant. And thank you, Joe Buck, for bringing up the fact that it may be the last time you talked to him as a Chicago Cub. I was just trying to go one day without knowing that they're blowing up my team. When you look at them and other teams, just in general, as we get closer to the trade deadline, do you think there's going to be a lot of people selling and buying, or do you think it's very specific as to where it's going to go? I mean, obviously, Kimbrel's year, he's a closer. Everyone could use a closer. So let's start there, not just because it's my Cubs, because he's had a fantastic year. Who could use a closer like Kimbrel?
There's a lot of teams. Houston, you know, I know there's a lot of Astros fans out there that they probably would love to have a Craig Kimbrel. I think the Red Sox, you know, he obviously was there before. They could probably use the nice boost like that. I don't know if Toronto's going to buy or not. We talked about this on the show last week. The National League playoffs are almost set. You know, you take a look at the standings. It's going to take, you know, maybe not that they're going to jockey for position. Obviously, there's three teams in the West that are all going to probably make the playoffs. The Brewers out of the Central, the Mets in the, you know, there's a couple teams in the East that are battling. The East champion, and then there'll be a wild card. So there's a lot of teams. And then in the American League is not wide open, but there's a lot of movement in the AL. And there's some teams that have to make that decision on whether or not they want to buy in. And I think the Blue Jays are a team that they could, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know what? All of a sudden Toronto's a player. They could use a closer, and Kimbrel would be on the market. The Cubs are a team that obviously they've won it. We knew this back in the offseason, whether or not Cubs fans believed it or not, that their ownership was ready to move on. I'm not exactly sure why, but they decided that, hey, this was time to move on. They don't want to keep paying the luxury tax. They want it to move to the next generation, and they want to see what they can get for these guys.
It's kind of like the NFL, right, Jordan? 1.5 billion TV rights and
no,
laid off
105.
$105 billion TV rights and laid off 100 people during COVID. The Cubs have no money. No money. No money. No.
I don't know how they don't have any money, but for some reason they don't have money. I'm like, you watch these games and they're sold out every night, and they get TV contract. You're like, how do they not have money?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they do. Believe me, they do. And yeah, it is what it is. Tim, as always, appreciate the chat, man. Once a week, it goes by fast. We'll chat again
it
next
does.
Week.
Well, no, and now that we're getting into the quote-unquote second half, it's going to be fun. I mean, we got the trade deadline coming up, and the pennant races will heat up. It's going to be a lot of fun, so I look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds good, man. Take care. Mr. Tim Grubbs, literally, on Twitter, at Mr. Tim Grubbs. It's the way to give him a follow. Quick break. We come back. Eric Alexander. We'll talk a little NFL and college football. When we come back on ESPN New Orleans.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
Basketball fans, watch the NBA Finals live with YouTube TV. Get live TV from 85-plus top channels, including ABC, ESPN, Disney, and Nat Geo. Watch the live sports, local news, and shows you love with unlimited DVR storage included. YouTube TV brings crystal clear HD live TV streaming to all your favorite devices. No cable boxes, no long-term contracts. Set up in minutes. Find out more at YouTubeTV.com. YouTube TV. Try it free. Terms apply.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to Vet Ticks, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience, give the memory. VetTix, give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Man. So the Saints franchise tag Marcus Williams. No deal yet. Today's the deadline. Meanwhile, the Saints and Marcus Williams don't appear to be on track to a deal, despite both sides working on making it happen. Barring a dramatic turn, just one deal today. This is Ian Rappaport. Back at the top of the hour, around 2:04. The comments under this, Jordan, are pretty interesting, huh?
Oh, the comments are...
Real interesting. Andrew, non-casual fans know he's a top free safety in the league. Prime Juan on Twitter says he's the reason for the Minnesota Miracle. I didn't know that. The Minneapolis Miracle.
No.
Nobody
thought
about that.
I didn't have
a
clue.
Mike on Twitter, Marcus Williams took a dramatic turn in Minnesota with the emoji where the teeth are showing. Another one that I love is Splash on Twitter, Saints in shambles. Wow.
Huh.
I didn't know that not signing Marcus Williams to a long-term contract meant the team's in shambles. Depressed Saints fan, Aints, is his response. Would you think that the Saints are in shambles? Because, Mark, again, I have a different view of Marcus Williams than a lot of people, so I get it. A Cowboys fan on Twitter, trade him to Dallas for a seventh round pick. K9E on Twitter is a Vikings fan. I hope they can come to terms. He's my favorite Saint.
Of course he is. He would be mine too.
At WooGoat, send him to Buffalo. Then the Press Saints fan answers, who wants to live in Buffalo? This is where we are, Jordan. That's Michael on Twitter, L for the Saints again. I is it? Hey, make your $10 million as a franchise tag and see if he's worth that. You know, I mean, that's a substantial raise from where he was making. And Jordan, huh? Yeah, no? I mean, I look at it. I don't know. I mean, I saw a number thrown out there of $60 million. You think Marcus Williams is a $60 million safety? Like, if you can't say yes quickly or immediately, that's my point. Does that make sense? I don't know. Let's bring in Mr. Eric Alexander. Maybe he can help me out with this. At @EA_LSU Tiger, part of LSU Game Day Live over on CST, national champion and world champion with the Patriots and Tigers. Eric, can you believe, sir? Football around the corner. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. And yes, I am excited for football. Less than a month away, right?
Yes, 44 days till college football starts. 2 weeks from today, we would have already wrapped up practice one of Saints training camp. The Cowboys and Steelers get going, I think, next week because they play in the Hall of Fame game coming up on August 5th. But yeah, I mean, it's basically here. SEC Media Days starts next week. Monday, Coach Ed Ogeron's going to talk. So let's start with the Tigers, and I'll ask you to give me a little something on some NFL, including, say, Marcus Williams and how you value safeties and such. But when it comes to LSU, man, what a difference I almost think an offseason makes. Does that make sense? In that I felt like last season started a certain way, it ended a different way, and if you can believe it, I almost feel like there was excitement in the offseason based off of how the last month went.
Yeah, I mean, off seasons are everything. I mean, you get to, you know, you get a chance to reevaluate your players and what you have coming back and reassess and figure out, you know, a game plan based on the talent and the players that you have, not only already on the roster but also the incoming freshmen as well who you hope could contribute.
Do you pinch yourself sometimes when you look at it? Over on the LSU website, there's a podcast of a loaded quarterback room. Like, I have to almost do a double take. I can't think of another time where you had that much talent and skill in the quarterback room, legitimate starters probably for a lot of schools.
Yeah, it is. It is something different, something new that has rarely happened here at LSU, but I think it's a good thing. I think that, you know, competition will bring out the best in everybody, and if that opportunity does not happen to be at LSU, they'll have opportunities somewhere else via the transfer portal. So. It is something new. It's something welcome, and I'm excited about those guys that we actually have in our quarterback room. I think all of them bring a different style of play to the game, and you never know when they're going to be needed and their name's going to be called upon to be able to perform and win a game for us.
It's a good way to put it because that's exactly what happened last year. Speaking with Eric Alexander at @EA_LSU Tiger, part of LSU Game Day Live. You know, Eric, you're right. We saw Miles Brennan. He started, got injured. Then TJ Finley, who's transferred over to Auburn. And then Max Johnson came in and won some games. So we saw three quarterbacks in one season. When you look back at last year with those three quarterbacks, two are still on campus. What stood out to you for Miles and what stood out to you for Max? And do you think either has the advantage going into the season to be the starter?
That's a good question. I mean, I think from day one, Miles established himself as the veteran, as a starter, as someone who could make the right decisions and know where to go with the football. I mean, before he was, initially injured, I mean, I think he was having a hell of a year as far as passing down, passing yardage and touchdown goes. But I also think that Max Johnson did a hell of a job coming in and filling in the playing time that he got. You know, he's a different type of quarterback than Miles with his athletic ability. Now he's not a burner. He's not going to outrun anybody, but he still has that threat of being able to run and his athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised and impressed by, you know, someone. You know, you got to realize this kid was playing against high school players a year ago, and then to come in and perform the way he did against Florida and also against Ole Miss at the end of the year.
Indeed, right? And it's kind of one of those things where, you know, we're talking about when it comes to the Saints, Eric, about whether Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston earns it on the field. It goes, I guess, a long way to helping win the locker room, but players will feel it and know it, right? A lot of times we've all been, no matter what the level, you know, right, Eric, if somebody's supposed to be in that position or not, should be playing. And I think that's the hardest thing. We've all heard the story about Joe Burrow. He came in and won that locker room, won that side of the ball, and won that belief. And I wonder how that's going to be in fall ball. Do you think it's been won, or are guys on the team going to say, hey, let's see who gives us the best shot, and that's who we're going to support?
If it were me, I mean, I would have to let those guys battle it out, because, you know, I know what Taysom can do, and I know what he has done as a starter for the Saints. And it seems like, you know, if you want to look at back at last season, a lot of people, a lot of Saints, a lot of fans, a lot of coaches, they believe in what Taysom can do, and they believe he can win some ball games. Long term wise, I think a lot of people like Jameis in that role. So I think that's going to be one of the more interesting battles this offseason is who is going to be QB1 for the Saints. You know, just like the LSU quarterback room, I mean, both of those guys have different types of qualities and assets, but it's no doubt that Taysom Hill is a leader, right? I mean, from, you know, his versatility and the things that he's done, the selflessness to go out and run down on special teams, play fullback, play mm-hmm. tight end, play wing back. You know, he does whatever it takes for a team to win. So, and that goes a long way. That goes a long way when you think about guys who are leaders on the team. So I think and I feel that a lot of the current players feel that if they need him to – if he is the quarterback, I think he'll be okay.
Very interesting. Yeah, look, that's just one position. Obviously, in this one segment, Eric, as we get closer to the year and for LSU to kick things off against a pretty big opponent, we're going to, you know, go into a bunch of different position groups and stuff like that, because I don't know. I get the sense and feel that a lot of people feel the West is open this year. Well, how do you look, just a quick snapshot of the SEC West? Do you think it's as open as it's been in the past, or do you still think, look, it's Bama and everyone's battling for second?
I mean, as much as I hate to say it, it's Bama. I mean, just on who their coach is, I know how those guys prepare. I mean, they've been preparing, you know, for this season, since the end of last season, since the banner was raised after last season, they've been getting ready for this year. And and Bama's not, I mean, it's not that like they're losing the recruiting battle, so I don't see how anyone would think that they've lost a step.
Right.
Who is going to, I mean, who in the West is legitimately going to challenge them is my question.
I keep hearing a lot of people love Texas A&M. How do you feel about the Aggies this year?
I mean, we could LSU could have beat Texas A&M last year. I don't know. I mean, they're going to be starting a new quarterback next year. Truthfully, I don't know how good they are defensively, but until somebody beats Alabama, I'm convinced that they're still on top of the SEC West.
Yeah, I know. Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, you know, Matt Jones. You lose all these players, and you know what? We'll relearn those names of all of those positions real soon with new players that wear the Crimson Tide.
We'll know. We'll know who the next greats are at Alabama for sure.
Eight Saturdays, including this one, sir. You'll be doing LSU Game Day Live, previewing LSU and UCLA, so it's not that far away. Let me ask you this, and we'll let you get out of here, man. Again, thanks for your time. We're talking about Marcus Williams. No deal yet between he and the Saints on an extension, so he's franchise tagged right now. Evaluating safeties or evaluating players for long-term deals, you played on the defensive side. What to you is a good free safety? What does a free safety do that you would say is among the top in the league? Like, what would he have to do to be considered among the top in the league?
Well, first and foremost, he has to be smart. He has, I mean, they always say like that the middle linebacker is the, you know, the quarterback of the defense, but the safety is right up there alongside the middle linebacker and knowing what to do. Because he's back and he can see everything. He knows when something doesn't look right. He knows when something's out of position, and he can get the people in the right places to where they need to be. I feel like that's what Ryan Clark did so well during his career in the league. He you know, at his free safety spot, he wasn't always necessarily the most talented, fastest, strongest person on the field, but he was always in the right place at the right time, right? Which is what elongated his career. So I think first and foremost, you have to have smart, you have to have wit, you have to be able to anticipate what's going to happen on any given play. Secondly, you got to have range, you know, on deep balls. You have to be able to manage that center field position, and once that ball is in the air, you have to be able to break on it, you know, with as fast as you can and be able to make plays on balls. But again, that comes back to situation, studying film, knowing where guys are going to be on the field, and that always helps. And lastly, you got to be able to tackle. You're that last line of defense, right? That's why you are called a safety. So you're called upon to make tough one-on-one tackles each and every game. And if you can't do that, really, you can't play. You can't play defense. You can't play safety. So those three things there are what really, to me, defines what one of the, you know, a good safety is.
He's a world champion with the Patriots and a national champion with your LSU Fighting Tigers, part of the crew on LSU Game Day Live over on CST. Again, Eric, eight Saturdays, including this one. You'll be on set, sir, or, you know, getting ready to get going. So I'm ready. I'm ready, too.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm excited about this year, man. It's going to be some fun.
I do, too. I think there's a lot of different storylines to go as well, man. We'll catch up before then for sure, man. Thank you for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on, Gus.
Yep. Give Eric a follow at @EA_LSU Tiger. Quick break. Final segment, Jordan. We'll find out if there's any updates to anything, including what are you doing? What are you doing? You got a big homework assignment tonight, by the way.
No, actually,
does it happen at 12 a.m.?
That's why I'm going to have to wake up early.
Yep.
I might watch it while I'm walking sticks.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Listen to your life, would you say?
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Bottom of the ninth, two outs, base is loaded.
This is what it's all about.
And here's the pitch. Oh, a deep drive to center. Way back. This could go all the...
And now a message from our sponsor.
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection. Progressive.
I can't believe it. Did that really just happen?
Folks, you'll never forget where you were when you heard that call.
Progressive. There's never a bad time for great protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
What would you say you do here?
Sports. Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fan.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Looking forward to Jordan's homework assignment tonight. Jordan, you have one key big thing to do, sir. And that is to tomorrow you will give us a review.
I will. A movie review. Let me see. Is it?
Yeah.
It says it's released on the 16th, but I don't know if HBO Max released it like a day early. So let me check my app real quick.
Really? Hmm.
And we can check it out.
Well, I just want you to know that I already have the soundtrack ready for you. This is the Space Jam and New Legacy soundtrack.
No, it's not up yet.
I'm assuming none of these have little E's next to them.
No, I'd hope not. I mean, it's supposed to be...
Oh,
are those little Martians?
Is that Marvin the Martian? I don't know. I don't know what song this is. Oh, this is Big Spending. Who's spending on the Toon Squad? Let's see, this is MVP.
I'm not spending any money on this movie, I can tell
you
that.
This is by Brockhampton. This is MVP. I'm assuming this is when we meet LeBron.
Or the Goon Squad, or the Monstars.
The Monstars?
Did they name them the Goon Squad?
I don't know, but there's a rap battle. There we go. This is a montage of LeBron dribbling around people, you know, going past, you know, like incredible athletic athletes like Porky Pig and stuff. Oh, here we go. Game time. This is when it gets serious, Jordan. Did you know this?
Oh, this is when he slaps the floor.
Yes. Two hands on the table. Let's go. It's called game time. Oh, here we go. Huh? Oh, listen to it. You know who Big Frida is? Jordan?
Big Frida? Yeah. I've heard the name.
He dropped a song called Going Loony on the soundtrack. Is this, you think, when he becomes a cartoon, maybe? Right? What do you think? Just when he becomes a cartoon, he's probably going, what's going on with me? Why do my hands look like a cartoon? I'm really looking forward to your movie review. I really honestly am.
Oh, it's not going to be a good one.
No.
Probably in the negative.
Are we going loony? Huh? This is good stuff. Let's see. Wow.
Should I fear the best tune squad in over 25 years?
This, I mean, I haven't even seen one pixel of the movie.
One more time. This is Daffy Duck.
We rather when we hear the name Daffy, all we're thinking is Doug. When we hear algae, all we're thinking is yuck. I got LeBron and Bunk. For who should I fear? The best Toon Squad in over 25 years? You wanna be king of the web? Well, that's neat. Here you go. You can start by massaging my web feet.
Wow. That's a little strange. That's, who was the head coach that had a foot thing? Remember? Rex Ryan. Yes. Rex Ryan. That was weird, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's really weird. Like, you may be into that. You can't put that on social media. You can't let everybody know you like feet like that.
Wait, what was the?
Do you not know what I'm talking about? Rex Ryan and his wife's feet?
No, I don't actually.
Go Google.
No,
that.
I'm
yes.
not Googling.
No, yes, yes. NFL head coach.
Wait,
Rex
what?
Ryan.
Wasn't there an NFL team a couple years ago that like had like porn playing?
What?
Like at one of the training camps?
Was it the Jets? I think it was the Jets. John Legend's in this as well. Crowd go crazy. You think this is after? I'm convinced this is AD's got to dunk on Porky Pig and then say that's all, folks. Right? If he doesn't say that in the movie, I'm giving it a F. Failure.
Either way, I'm giving it an F.
Got it together, but that don't mean I'm too comfortable.
That's probably like the start of the movie. Everything's great.
Oh, you think so? This is him getting out of the Ferrari or something? Things going well. Who are we trading today? Huh? He's on the phone with his agent.
Hey,
Rich, we got to get rid of this guy. Kuzma. Yeah, no, yeah. He actually said Jesus can't guard him. I can't have him on my team, Rich. Let's go.
Rich, make it work.
Give me somebody else, Rich. Come on. Have you seen that Chris Paul guy? Give him it. What's $40 million? Come on, let's go. And then some little kids like standing by the girl. LeBron. And he just kind of signs the autograph while he's still on the phone. What do you think? Is this the opening montage? Oh, you think they're showing highlights of him with the Lakers right now? I wonder if they show any bricks.
They're going to show him.
You're going to show him walking off the court with like a minute something
left? They're going to show him in a Lakers.